If you would like a Bible, if you would please raise your hand, and those with the Bibles will get them to you. It would be nice to have a Bible during the message if you don't have one. I like Bible words. Bible words convey Bible truth. I like Bible words such as redemption, reconciliation, sanctification, one of my favorites, propitiation, justification, and others. Today, let's zero in on another Bible word, that word, saved. A former Roman Catholic once said to me, when I, as an adult Roman Catholic, first heard the word saved, I had no idea what they were talking about. The Roman Catholic Church does not teach its people to use the word save and does not teach them to be saved. A member of a major Protestant church once said to one of the members of our church in Ohio, "You realize that your church is different. You talk about being saved. Not many churches talk about that. Not many churches use that term." Well, that's very true. Most Roman Catholics and most Protestants just don't use the word saved. We use it. Are we outdated? Are we old-fashioned? I like to think that we're biblical. I submit that the word saved is a good Bible word. It is an important Bible word. If others are not familiar with it, it is because they do not hear it in their churches, those who go to church. It is because many churches are neglecting a major truth of the Bible. For a major truth of the Bible is that people need to be saved. May our church always be a Bible-teaching church and never stop using the word saved. To be saved means to be rescued or delivered or saved from the condemnation of hell and the lake of fire. A lifeguard rescues or delivers or saves people from drowning. Jesus Christ rescues or delivers or saves people from the condemnation of hell and the lake of fire. I said that the matter of being saved is a major theme of the Bible. Why would I say that? Because the Bible talks about being saved often. how often? Well, in the New Testament alone, the word save is used 22 times in 12 different books. The word saved is used 49 times in 15 different books. And the noun form, salvation, is used 44 times in 16 different books. That comes to 115 times in 21 of the 27 books of the New Testament. That's often. If you read the Bible, you can't miss it. The theme of salvation is a major theme of the Bible. Without the theme of salvation, there would be no reason for the rest of the Bible to exist. Save, saved, salvation. 115 times in 21 of the 27 books of the New Testament. So I would like us to read those times. But if we were to read them all, when we got done, I would be the only one here. So let's just zero in on the word saved. And we're not going to read all 49 times. But let's read a time or two from each of the 15 books of the New Testament in which it occurs. Can we do that? Sure we can. We're going to start with Matthew. And if you can find Matthew, you can probably find the rest of them, because we're just going to kind of move through. Now, we'll skip a few books because the word saved isn't found in every book. But we're going to start in Matthew, and we're going to go through until we come to Peter, and just read from the scriptures itself the word saved. Matthew chapter 19. Now, my Bible, I always have trouble turning the pages just like I want to, so it will take me perhaps longer than it will take you to find it as we move along. But I want to make sure you have your place too, so I will try to allow for that. Matthew 19, verse 24. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." That same incident is recorded in Mark, but let's read it, Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 25. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. from the parable of the sower and the seed. Luke 8:12, the ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Luke 13. Luke chapter 13 and verse 23. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? John chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 10. John 10, verse 9. Jesus Christ is speaking, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Acts chapter 4. Many of these verses I am tempted to comment on, but that's not my purpose right now. I just want you to see the scripture itself. Acts 4 and verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Familiar to you, Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 29. The Philippian jailer. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. There's another good Bible word. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Same book, chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. And you know this verse well. Romans 10, 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Next book, 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, and to the other a fragrance of life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And familiar to you, of course, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. By hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. 2, verse 10. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Turn a page or two to Titus, chapter 3. Titus 3:5. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the last one is 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? We have just read 22 times in 15 New Testament books the use of the word saved. There are 27 more times in those same books that also use this word. Then, as we said, add to that the 22 times that the Lord used the word save, and 44 times that the word, the noun form of that saved, is salvation. In some of the same books and some not in the same books. Do you see why I say that the theme of salvation is a major theme of the Bible? What was that again? 115 times in 21 of the 27 books of the New Testament. No person and no church can properly teach the Bible if they neglect these words, save, saved, and salvation. Question, who needs to be saved? Who needs to be saved from the condemnation that is in the lake of fire? The answer, of course, is everyone. Every human being, if they're not saved already, they need to be saved. For all men are sinners. You've heard that theme? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men are sinners, and all men are lost, needing to be saved. Bob read the scripture earlier. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. A picture word of the condition of a human being if he's not saved. Here's another question. What must I do to be lost? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. We were all born lost, needing to be saved. And the very first step towards being saved is the realization that I'm lost. Without that realization, you do not have the understanding of what follows. You do not have the understanding of being saved if you don't understand you're lost. I remember one day in my ministry in Ohio, a man was coming to our church and his family. I went to call on him. My biggest job was to convince him that he was not a Christian, for he called himself a Christian. He thought he was a Christian, but he wasn't. He was lost because he never became a Christian. It's just something he took upon and said, "That's what I am." My biggest job was to convince him that he was lost and that he needed to be saved. And he was. Praise the Lord for that. Probably the most important question of all this morning is the question asked by the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? If all men are lost and they can't help that because they were born that way, and they confirm the fact that they were born that way by their sin in their lives, most important question, how do I get saved? You remember Paul's answer, don't you? We read it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe what about Jesus Christ? Believe that he died on the cross of Calvary, And when he died on the cross of Calvary, he bore our sins. Now, this is done in the imputing of the mind of God, but God imputed that our sins, all of them, were placed on Jesus Christ. He bore them. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Believe what about Jesus Christ? Believe that when he died at Calvary, he bore our sins. He died our death. He paid our penalty for our sins. He endured our curse for our sins. He died for us. And then he rose again, triumphant over death and over Satan, so that now he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him, because he ever lives to make intercession for them. And the scripture promises that whoever calls, or as our version here, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What must I do to be saved? Admit I'm lost. I'm a lost sinner. Those of you who are saved, never forget that one day you and I were just lost sinners, condemned sinners, on our way to hell. I hear a lot of evangelistic teaching and gospel films and so on, and they seem to ignore that whole thing. You have to start here. I'm a lost sinner. I have to believe in Jesus Christ, that he, the Son of God, bore my sins, died my death, paid my penalty. You don't have to understand all those words, but you understand he died for me. And having done so, I call upon him, Lord, save me. Do you know what the scripture also says? When it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the scripture also says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We start out realizing we're lost. We are condemned to sin, death, penalty, condemnation. But when we call upon Christ as Savior, there is therefore now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ. I thank God for the churches that teach the Bible, churches that teach the lost how to be saved from condemnation. There are lots of churches that do. There are lots more that don't. But there are lots that do. I praise the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that I was brought up in a gospel preaching church. Now, some of you were not. Your life is different. God has touched your lives in different ways. But I thank the Lord, I can never remember not going to a gospel preaching church. And I thank God that I was saved in a gospel-preaching church. No, you don't have to be in church to be saved. But it's nice to be. It's nice to be. It is possible that there are people here in this church this morning who are still lost. You've never been saved. you're just like you've always been, lost. And if that's so of you, would you like to be saved? Would you like to be saved from the condemnation of hell and the lake of fire? If your answer is yes, may I help you? I'd like to have us all bow our heads and close our eyes. I believe that this is a very private matter between you and God. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come forward or do anything like that, although I'm not opposed to that. But if you need to be saved, would you talk to God personally, just you and Him? And if you would really like to be saved from hell, would you admit to God that you realize you are a lost sinner? Would you tell Him that right now? Next, in your heart, between you and God, thank God that He sent His Son to die to pay for your sins. Thank Him for that right now. And in your heart, between you and God, would you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior from hell and the lake of fire? Call upon Him or ask Him to do that for you right now. You can look up. And may I say that if you sincerely receive Jesus Christ, asking Him to save you, if you sincerely did that in your heart, rest on this promise: for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may not feel saved. You may not feel any different than you did before you asked Him. But we do not base our eternal salvation upon our feelings. We base them upon the promises of God. And if you sincerely asked, or told God that you were a sinner, thank God for sending His Son to die for you, and ask Jesus Christ to save you, and you meant it. He did. He did. He said He would. For whosoever shall call, and it's talking about calling upon Him for salvation, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May I add this? If you sincerely ask Christ to be your Savior today, don't keep it a secret. Tell your family, tell your friends. But since we're in this situation, would you please tell that to Pastor when the service is over, or myself? We'd like to rejoice with you. You won't be any more saved than you were without telling us. But we'd like to know, because we'd like to help you in future things.